Elizabeth Stuart was born on August 19, 1596, at Dunfermline Palace, her mother's preferred summer residence in Fife, just across the bay from Edinburgh. Her father was James VI, only offspring and heir of Mary, Queen of Scots. Her mother was Queen Anne, daughter of the King of Denmark. Elizabeth was her parents' second child. An older brother, christened Frederick Henry, but known simply as Henry, had been born 2 years earlier. Unlike the wild, spontaneous public celebrations that had greeted her brother's arrival, moving them to great triumph, for bonfires were set, and dancing and playing seen in all parts, as if the people had been daft for mirth. As one eyewitness noted, the news that Queen Anne, suspected of Catholic leanings, had been successfully delivered of a daughter, was received with stony indifference by the unruly Protestant population. The Presbyterian ministers of nearby Edinburgh, the most outspoken and radical element of Scottish society, incensed by James's recent decision to allow two formerly exiled Catholic earls to return to the realm, sent an emissary not to congratulate the new father, but debate him, insultingly calling James God's silly vassal, among other choice put-downs to his face. There were not too many kingdoms in Europe where a subject could address his sovereign lord in this fashion without risking imprisonment or execution, but fiercely implacable, wayward Scotland was one of them. The Scottish aristocracy was hopelessly, almost comically fractured by geography, ancestry, religion, and politics. Jealous of one another's privileges, constantly engaging in conspiracies and treachery, or jostling for advantage about the only quality the various clans had in common, was a tendency to take offence at the slightest provocation, a predilection that more often than not quickly escalated to violent civil unrest. To be King of Scotland at the turn of the 17th century was not an especially enviable employment. "Alas, it is a far more barbarous and stiff-necked people that I rule over," James observed morosely. Exacerbating the country's political woes was its extreme poverty. Trained almost from birth in the habits of frugality, James had become adept at sidestepping unnecessary expenses. To reduce costs, Elizabeth's christening was held on November 28th, when bitter cold and inclement weather would ensure that attendance at the ceremony was kept to a minimum. Those guests who did accept the royal invitation were instructed to bring their own dinners. Ever on the lookout for ways to squeeze a profit from events, to ingratiate himself with his far more affluent neighbour to the south, James fawningly named his daughter for the venerable Queen of England. He further nominated Elizabeth I as godmother to the child, as he had done for his son 2 years earlier, expecting by this means to receive a handsome present. But although the English Queen had acknowledged the birth of James's son with a cupboard of silver over gilt cunningly wrought, as well as a set of magnificent golden goblets, this time no similarly expensive gift, in fact, no gift at all, arrived to commemorate his daughter's christening. The notoriously stingy Elizabeth I knew a thing or two about thrift herself. Even before the ceremony, the infant Elizabeth had been removed from her mother's care and sent to Linlithgow Palace, about 15 miles west of Edinburgh, to be raised by guardians. Queen Anne, who did not wish to be separated from her daughter, had objected vehemently to this arrangement, as she had 2 years previously when her firstborn, Henry, had been unceremoniously wrenched from her in similar fashion. But James, citing Scottish custom, had insisted. The king, who had himself been brought up by custodians when political upheaval forced Mary Stuart to abdicate, evidently did not consider a mother to be a necessary or even particularly helpful component in child-rearing. In fact, it was not traditional for daughters to be taken from their mothers. Mary Stuart had lived with her mother, Mary of Guise, until she was engaged to the Dauphin and sent to France to learn the customs of the kingdom it was expected she would rule.